Tonight's Bible reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 30. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to his will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proven himself, because as a son with his father, he served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you could not give me. Amen.
Okay, and here I am back again. I'm going to do a 20-minute sermon of this morning in 10 minutes tonight, and less. So I'll be using half my sentences. If you want to listen to the other half, you have to go online and actually listen to the morning sermon on the web. So that'll be on the web, on MacChat's website from Wednesday onwards, and you can listen to the sermon in a more detailed version. But tonight you're getting the paraphrase of where we're at, but I think it will still mean something, especially to the five young people who are going to be baptized tonight. Let me just pray for us as we start. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you tonight, and we worship you, we bow down before you, and we acknowledge your greatness. We are here to glorify you, we are here to praise you, we are here to say that you are our God. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity we have tonight to listen to your word, but also to see your word in action as young people commit their lives to you and we see and receive the sign of a baptism. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless the whole service tonight, that you'll be with us, that you will keep your hands over us, that you'll be in us through your Holy Spirit. And as we now focus on the words we heard tonight, I pray, Lord, you'll reveal your truth to us. I pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, well, Clara, Dora, Philip, Baptiste, and Luke, and I think I said it in the same order as Jazz as well, tried to. Congratulations on tonight. Making this commitment of a baptism says a couple of things. It says that you acknowledge that you have been changed, that you have been changed because Christ came into your life, but also that you are committing to living a life that is worthy of him and becoming more Christ-like in your lives. And so today I'm going to talk about this Christian life that you are committing to as we hear about it in this passage. On the one side, you get people who say when God changes your life, he takes control of your life and you just have to go with him, and that almost leads people to become inactive in their life of faith. Other people have the idea that you choose to be a Christian, you commit to God, and therefore you have to lead a life that is Christ-like. So it's a lot of effort you put in, and that almost can be consuming as well and tiring if you think that salvation is only up to you. So it's passive on the one end or active on the other side. And I think what we're hearing in this passage, what Paul is saying, that it's a bit of both. You have a part to play in your Christian life, but God also plays a part in your life. And that's what I'm going to focus on briefly tonight. In chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says this to the Philippians. He says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now, if you look at those words, "work out your salvation," it clearly says that you have a role to play in your salvation. You cannot save yourselves. You cannot cause yourself to be saved, but you have a role to play in your life as a saved person. The word that Paul uses here for work out your salvation is the same word we use when we talk about energy. So Paul's saying you have to put some energy into the fact that you are a saved person. You have to put some energy into your changed life. Now, for those five tonight who will be baptized, this is what you're actually saying. This is your role that you have to play. A couple of things that you can do. The first thing I think that Paul's saying is this. I actually drew that. No, I didn't. I downloaded that from Google, which is much better than I can do, actually. Paul says, first of all, the first thing that you have control over is your thoughts. And all change starts with your thoughts, within your mind. Later on in the letter, Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things." You have to focus on what you are thinking. As a Christian, living a Christian life, you have to ask yourself, what is in my mind? What am I focused on? Am I focused in my life by asking the question, what would Jesus do? What would God want me to do in this circumstance I'm in? What am I actually focused on in my mind? The second thing Paul says is what you have control over is how you depend on God and whether you trust in God. See, we need to trust in God with our whole lives, and sometimes we try and we like to keep a bit for ourselves as well. But you have control over how much you commit to God and how much you trust in God. And you have to grow in how much you actually place your life in God's hands. Thirdly, Paul also says you have control over your actions. See, if you choose to do the wrong thing, it's not the devil's fault. You can't turn around and say, "Oh, it was the devil testing me, so it was the devil who is blamed for what I did wrong." If you do something wrong, you chose to do the wrong thing. If you do the right thing, it's also because you chose in that circumstance to do the right thing. So you have control over what you are putting your mind to. You have control over how much you trust in God. And you have control over the actions and the choices you make. Well, God also plays a part in your salvation and your Christian life that you are leading. And once again, if you look at the passage, you see this. Paul continues in verse 13 by saying, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." So you play a role in your Christian life, but God also plays a role in how you live your life and how you give your life over to Him. How does He do that? Well, first of all, if you look at those words, it says once again, God works in you. And it's the same word that you find in the first verse as well. God puts energy into your life. God invests energy into your life. How does He do that? Well, three things I think becomes clear. First of all, He uses circumstances. He uses things that happen in our lives, whether it's finishing our HSC exams, whether it's going to uni, whether it's facing hardship, whether it's becoming ill. God uses all those circumstances for our good, and we grow through that because He is a sovereign God. He also uses, of course, His Word, the Bible. The Message says this in 2 Timothy 3, a well-known verse about the rod of the Bible. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. If you want to grow in Christian faith, you need to spend more time in God's Word. You need to allow God to speak to you. And the more you open up His Word, the more you just read through the Bible, the more God plays a part in your life of salvation. And thirdly, God also gives us His Holy Spirit to guide us, to be with us daily, to comfort us, and to live in our hearts as we go through this Christian life that God calls us to live. Now, as illustration, just briefly this. It is like being on a river, a strong flowing river, and we are heading downwards on the river and we'll end up where God wants us to be. But how we travel on that river determines how fulfilled we are in life. We can choose to row against the flow, and that will make it much harder. We will get to the place down the river where God wants to take us, but it won't be a pleasant journey. We can choose to relax on the boat and sunbathe and just let the river take us where it wants to take us. But you'll get there slower. If you row with the river, you get there much faster. And it's much more fulfilling. And I think that is what God is saying in this passage as well. He saves you and He gave His Son for you. And He will lead you where He wants to take you. But you have a role to play in this as well. God is investing energy in your life. And you need to respond to that by also investing energy and inputting energy in how you commit to God in a Christian life. Amen. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the gift of Your Son. Lord, what a choice You made, what a sacrifice You made to give us Your Son, to die for us on the cross and give us salvation. We thank You, Lord, that You continue to input into our lives, that You continue to lead us as we live this Christian life. Father God, we pray that You will also continue to input in our lives through the circumstances that You govern, through Your Word that You open up to us, and also through Your Holy Spirit living in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll, in Your grace, also give us the strength and give us the guidance to answer to this by also inputting effort and energy into how we respond to our salvation. Father God, I pray that You'll continue to bless us tonight as we witness to how these five people I mentioned before respond to You, and that we will be encouraged by their testimony tonight. I pray this in Your gracious name. Amen. I'm going to invite the band to come out.